message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
This is our month of being above alone and not beneath. And I pray that somebody is going to be above only and not beneath in Jesus' name. The Bible tells me in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 13, that's the anchor scripture for this month. It says, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath." I didn't hear your amen. Thou shalt be above only. Thou will never be beneath. That is to say that nobody will ever see you crawling on the ground again in the name of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. Revelation 5 verse 10. The Bible explains to us that God has ordained us. He has made us kings and priests. Someone say kings and priests. He has made us kings and priests. And we will reign. Reign where? On this earth. God has made you a king and a priest. King, that is reigning in a particular business or career. Priest, reigning as pastors and as ministers of the gospel. And we are all together. Somebody say together. Every one of us is destined to reign. Not one person is destined to be on the floor. I was speaking to my children last night while we were having the Bible study. And I told them, I said, can you imagine if as a father, I want you to do well in life. And I said, your mommy has also given you food today, cooked for you to eat. He said, yes. I said, how can you now imagine God Almighty, how much He loves you? Don't ever think that God ever wants you to be on the floor. No. Don't let it cross your mind that God ever wants you to be a struggler or to live life without any benefit or to graduate without a job or to be ready for marriage and never get married or to be ready to start a business and not have capital. If anybody tells you that, I can tell you it is a lie. God does not want you to be beneath. It's there in the scripture. I didn't put it there. He wants you to be above and not beneath. That is His plan for you, and it will come to pass in Jesus' name. We have all been destined for the top, and we are not destined for the floor. In fact, whatever Jesus has accomplished, we are expected to even do better. John 14 verse 12. John chapter 14 verse 12. We are expected to accomplish. The Bible says, "Very, very, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do." Why? I go unto my Father. This kind of scriptures intoxicate me. This kind of scripture turns my head. What Jesus did here, I am meant to do also. Wow! Not only that, I am meant to exceed and break Jesus' record. I didn't say it. The scripture said it. And I say this before God on this holy altar of God. That is exactly what will be your testimony. You are going to break a record in your family that you take minimum of 100 years for anybody to break such a record. You are going to break a record in your family that you take minimum 100 years for anybody to break such a record. Can I hear your loudest amen? But for this to happen, you need supernatural empowerment. For you to break record like Jesus, for you to accomplish what Jesus accomplished, you need supernatural empowerment. What is supernatural empowerment? Supernatural empowerment means divine power. Supernatural empowerment means engracement from above. Engracement from above. Supernatural empowerment also means endowment from heaven. Endowment. Friend, life is a risk without power. The life of a believer is at a risk if it's not empowered. No Christian can be above only, except he's empowered. No Christian can sit on his throne except he received the necessary. Every great destiny will be challenged. Every great destiny. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm challenged. It's because your destiny is going to be very, very great. I don't know why things are not working successfully to as it's expected to do. It is because your destiny is ordained to be great. That's why you need empowerment. Why do you need power to be above only? Why do you need power? Number one, opposition always resists great destiny. Opposition always resists great destiny. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, you know that scripture? For we do not wage war against principalities. For we wage war against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the forces against you. And it takes power, according to Psalm 66 verse 3, to subdue them. It takes power. I would say, through the greatness of thy power, 66 verse 3, shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. And I pray for somebody here today, the enemies will submit unto you in Jesus' name. Bible says that we are in a wicked world. Say the world is full of cruelty, habitations of cruelty. The world is full of wickedness. Until you are empowered, you can't get to where you want to get to. How many of us know that a car without an empowered engine can't get to where it's traveling to? A car that wants to leave Ilorin here to get to Abuja or Lagos or Ibadan, anywhere, must have a fired up engine. To the extent that if the engine is working for some minutes, if you put your hands on it, it will burn. A car without empowerment, fueling, and an active engine will never get to its destination. That's why that's your father's car that is very, very old. He's still in the compound without moving out till now. You know what I'm talking about? Because the engine has knocked. Because the engine has knocked. Until there is an empowerment, destiny does not take a flight. And in these 3 days, we'll be battling to ensure that at all cost, each person's destiny here and those watching me from far and wide, your destiny will actually take a flight in the name of Jesus. Number two, why do you need power? It takes power to experience the throne. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20. You must realize that the kingdom of God is not about just talking. The kingdom of God is about power. For the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. So if you are ever going to get to where God has destined for you, you need power. If you are going to sit on your throne, how many of you know that there's a throne for you in life? You might not be a king of a village, but there's a throne. That is, there is an area of life you are meant to succeed. You can have 2 children and the 2 of them will be on different thrones. You can have 3 children, 3 of them will be on different thrones. You can have 5 children and all of them are doing well. Every mother here today, every one of your children shall be enthroned. Number three, why do you need to be empowered to be above? It takes power for your destiny to become unstoppable. Until you are supernaturally empowered, a man is stopped. It takes power for motion to exist in a destiny. Only those who are empowered are unstoppable. There's a song like that. Unstoppable, unstoppable God. You are still my God. Yeah, that's it. Reliable. Oh my God. Good. God bless you. You are seriously on point. Any man or woman that does not want devil to stop him, you must seek for God's power at all costs. Anybody that does not want the wicked to stop him or her must seek for God's. That's why you see people, they search for power at all costs. People that want political ambition look for power at all costs. They look for power at all costs. I was watching something some time ago of a guy that was caught somewhere. Police were just doing stop and search, and they stopped him with a bag in his hand. And inside that bag was a 2-year-old boy. He just killed the boy. Kidnapped the boy, killed the boy, put him inside the bag, was taking him with speed to the people that recruited him. Your children will never be into that kind of situation. Your children will never face that kind of situation. Let me hear your loudest amen. Number four, why do you need power? For the fulfillment of the destiny that God has ordained for you. You need power for the fulfillment of the destiny that God has ordained for you. No power, no fulfillment. Haven't you seen many people that you say, this person is very bright. Very, very smart. In fact, he was the best in the class when we were in school. That's why you see many people who were very, very good in school. When they get out of school and nobody tells them that this is the real world. School world is different from the real world. You know, the school world is a world whereby, like this month end now, parents would have sent you money. The school world is a world whereby, you know, just take life easy. But once you are out of that school world, we tell them, we say, welcome to the real world. And it takes those who are empowered to fulfill their destiny in the real world. Those who take life casual. Those who take life as if there's nothing at stake. I see some Christians and I laugh. I say, if this is how to fulfill destiny, then it means everybody should have fulfilled destiny. Fulfillment of destiny is not cheap talk. It's real work. Fulfillment of destiny is not there. I know I will be very great. I know I'll be very great. But one can say that from now till tomorrow. There is what to do. You must be empowered. You must be empowered. You must be empowered. And in these 3 days, I see God supernaturally empowering you in the name of Jesus. I see God supernaturally empowering you in the name of Jesus. Number what am I now? Number five. Our real value is determined by the power at work in us. Your real value in life is determined by the level of the power of God at work in you. Your real and true worth is not your certificate worth. It is the worth of power inside of you. If I ask a lady now, a young lady, and I ask her, there are two guys that are suitors. One has spiritual power, connected with God, blows tongues, prays very well. And another one has a car, has a television. This other one has power and has vision. This other one has some money, maybe inherited from the father, and has television. And has a flat, good flat, well furnished. Which one will you take? I tell you, most ladies will take the one that is pocketically loaded temporarily, but with empty head. You say, what is my own with the head? Does he have money that can help me to eat good food? Does he have money to pay my children's school fees? That's okay. This one that has vision, let him go and die with his vision. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's a wrong choice. That's a wrong choice. Somebody that has divine power and has, I didn't say you should have power without knowing what you are doing on. But you are empowered coming for a program like this, and you know what God has told you. You know where you are going. Ladies, don't follow any man that doesn't know where he's going. Don't follow any man. Ask him, what's your plan? What do you want? How do you want this next 6 months to be? Why do you say, nothing. Just nothing. Just be eating and sleeping. No, what else again? By the time you spend 10 years with that kind of guy, you have not achieved anything. So he must be empowered. And at the same time, he must have vision. I speak to somebody here today. God is going to empower you in a different way in the name of Jesus. And in this program and in the course of this fasting, it will give you brand new vision. And lastly, empowerment level determines the limit of your accomplishment and exploits. In Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, the Bible says, those that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Only those that have power with God can do exploits in life. If your desire is to access exploits, then the gateway is power. Without wasting time, because it's a prayer season and we are here to pray like no man's business. I'll be giving you just one key to this power. Just one tonight. What is this major key that can make me empowered? What is this thing that if I have it, I'll be empowered? Can anybody guess? Faith. Good. Prayer. People have turned me into man of prayer. Somebody called me this afternoon. and for something. And the person said, I know you're a man of prayer. I know you're a man of prayer. And I was wondering, where did we... Praise the Lord. Okay. One more guess. Praise. Awesome. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. There are three forces that rules the earth. There are three forces that you must not do without having in life. The first one is the force of faith. The second one is the force of hope. And the third one is the force of love. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and love, which is also called charity. But the greatest of them all is what? Love, which is also called charity. And so, tonight, I'll be talking on love. Somebody shout hallelujah. These three forces control the world. Your faith, your hope, and your love. Once you possess it, you are made. Once you assess it, you are made. And love is key to assessing the above only lifestyle that you have always craved for. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, the Bible says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of man what God has in store for what? For them that love him. I was surprised that he didn't say for them that speak in tongues, or for them that jump up here and there. He said, for them that love me. It means that love is a principal force for accomplishment in life. In Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Behold. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. While the media is looking for that. Examples of people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 26, 36 to 40. The Bible says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I was surprised that out of all the commandments, Jesus himself said, this commandment of love is the greatest commandment. That is, loving God is the greatest thing that you can have as an asset in your life. If you meet a man or woman that loves God, you have met somebody who will make it in life. If you meet a young boy like this, no matter how small he is, and you can sense in his heart that this person loves God, make him your friend. His love and passion for God will make him become what God wants him to be. And I pray for somebody here today that grace is coming for you in Jesus' name. My time is fast, but let me move very, very fast now because I still have quite a lot to cover. Thank you, Jesus. Examples of people that went above their love. The first one tonight is a man called Job. Job was a man that loved God. He loved God to the extent that when he was afflicted, his wife said, curse God. Job 13 verse 15. Say, curse God and die. Say, curse God. And Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. That is, I love God so much. No matter what he does for me, no matter what kind of punishment he gives to me, I will continue to love him. In Job chapter 1, from verse 1 to 3, God was talking about Job. He said he was the greatest. It was this love in his heart that made him the greatest. It was the love that Job had for God. That Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. The man tried. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest. He was the what? Of all the men in the east. Because of the love for God in the heart of Job, God brought him to the above only lifestyle. To read further, you see that devil tried to strike him. Devil tried to affect him. But eventually, the latter end of Job was better than his beginning. Why? Because of the depth of his love for God. Friends, the more you love God, The more your height in life, the love of God is the staircase to the high places of life. The love of God is what is an escalator, is a lift. It lifts you. The more you love God, the more He lifts you. The more you love God, the more He lifts you. The more you love God, the more He lifts you. If your desire is to be above only, love God. If your desire is to stay where you ought to be, then you must love God. Until a man loses God, he's not a loser in life. In Job 42 verse 10 to 12 and verse 15. Job 42 verse 10 to 12 and verse 15. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Go on now. Thank you, Jesus. Go on, go on, go on. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in the house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. 15 now. 15. 15. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among his brethren. There's somebody here today. Those who are despising you, very soon they will come and congratulate you. I said those who are despising you, very soon they will come and congratulate you. I pray for everyone here tonight that all you have lost in the past, as a direct result of the love of God, it shall be restored unto you. Amen. My time is fast spent. I might not be able to give you more examples. But quickly, let me go to proofs of love for God. What is the proof that you love God? I'll just give you two tonight, then we go to pray. What is the proof that you love God? Number one proof that a man or woman loves God is obedience to God. John 14, 21. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Can you see that? Can we read together, everybody? One, two, go. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of mine, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. God will manifest himself to you. I say God will manifest himself to you. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3. 1 John 5 verse 3. The Bible says, For this is the love of God that we keep his... In fact, the definition of the love of God is to keep his commandment. To obey God is the greatest sign that you love God. If a man wants to know if a woman really loves her, loves him, then the level of his compliance and obedience to her compliance, beg your pardon, level of her compliance to his instruction, we definitely show. That's why God said, because man God said a woman should submit to the man. God naturally believes that you love him when you obey his commandment. He naturally, Ezekiel 36 verse 27, he naturally believes it, that this person loves me so much. Every time we obey God, we have provoked him to bless us. Every time we obey God, he says, and I will put my spirit upon you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my commandments and do them. That is God's will for us. We should keep his statutes. Friends, don't follow the multitude in what they are doing. If it is not God's commandment, if it is not God's instruction, back out from it. Because everybody is doing it doesn't mean that you have to do it. Because everybody is behaving that way doesn't mean that's exactly how you have to behave. My prayer for everyone here tonight is that a new spirit of obedience comes upon everyone here in Jesus' name. I'm giving you another example of a man of obedience, a man called Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1, God spoke to him that he should get out of his father's house and his mother's house. And the Bible says in verse, and now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land which I will show thee. And verse 4, he departed straight away. He did not even wait to question God. Immediately God gave him an instruction. Immediately he departed. My prayer for you tonight is that God will give you the grace to be able to obey every of his commandments and his instructions in Jesus' name. In Genesis 17, Verse 10. God also gave him another instruction, and he obeyed. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man among you shall be circumcised. And in verse 23, he went. You can imagine a man as old as that circumcising himself. It's a painful thing. And Abraham took Ishmael his son and all that were born in his house and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day as God has said unto him. This is what makes Abraham Abraham. His obedience to God's instruction is what has made him a quality person. In Genesis 22 from verse 2, God spoke to him again. I need your son, your only son. Genesis 22 verse 2 and verse 3. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there. For God is saying, I feel like eating the flesh of your son, your only son. And you know what amazed me about this man? He did not even tell his wife. He did not even tell his wife. Because you and I know that if he told his wife, you can predict what could have happened. You can predict it. Maybe she would have done something I saw on a program some time ago where somebody wanted to give, was giving somebody a drink and the drink already had acid. And the person said, yeah, this is a good drink. This is a good drink. Ah, very nice. Can I have some more? And then after drinking the drink, the person just fell down and died. Maybe that's what he would have done. Just say, wait, please. There's a new product I just brought from the market. A new juice. And then he will use syringe to put poison inside, rat poison. You will mix it very well and bring it out and put it inside. Then the following day, Abraham would have died. But he didn't do that. He obeyed. He did not even bother to tell his wife at all. He took the son, took a few of his servants, and he left. That is why God respected him so much. And God swore in that Genesis 22. God said, I swear in blessing I will bless you. Ah, so you can do this. So you can do this. Then nothing can stop your blessing. Every family of the earth shall be blessed through you. My prayer for somebody here today is that God is going to give you a sworn blessing. I say God is going to give you a sworn blessing. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. God is going to give you a sworn blessing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In verse 16. Genesis 22 verse 16, and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, as a seed, as the stars of the heavens, and as a sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemy. You will possess the gates of your enemies. When you begin to obey God, you have signed off to be above. When you begin to obey God's instruction, you have signed off to be above. When you begin to love Him to the extent that your love provokes your immediate obedience, you have signed up. You have signed up for His blessings. And I pray for somebody here today that is the level you are going to get to in the name of Jesus. The level whereby you obey God in the name of Jesus. The level whereby you are going to obey God in the name of Jesus. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? I'm talking about the proofs of love. I said number one is obedience to God. Number two is love for people. 1 John 4 verse 12 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 4 verse 12 and verse 20. No man has seen God at any time. Have anybody here seen God at any time? Physically? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And if his love is perfected in us. And if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Somebody say he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not? There's a very simple way to know if somebody loves God. A very simple way. I don't struggle to know if somebody loves God. I don't need to, but I don't fast to know if somebody loves God. The simple way to know if somebody loves God is to see how they treat their fellow human beings. Once you see the way a man treats his wife, you can determine how he loves. That's why God doesn't allow us as pastors or men who are senior in the ministry to ordain those who don't know how to treat their wives very well. If you see a man who is bullying his wife, ambassadoring his wife, he hates God. If he's speaking in tongues and fire is coming out of his ear, his nose is this. It's just drama. You want to know a woman that loves God? See how she treats people. When you see a woman who is so pompous and arrogant, treats everybody as if they are rubbish. The house girl mistakenly break a plate. She goes to plug iron. And when the iron is hot, after 20 minutes, say, come here, bring your back. She doesn't love God. She doesn't love God. How do you know that those that killed Jesus didn't love God? How can you take... Just take ordinary pain and choke yourself and see how painful it is. For you to take a human being like you and put his back like this. One hand like this, one hand like this. And you put hammer. The first, let's even assume you did mistake for the first one. Blood gush out. And the person say, hey, oh no, you kept quiet. Hey. Then you took the second one again. You took the leg. The simple way to know if somebody loves God is interaction with your fellow human being. When you are a person who is fasting and then hatred is still lasting in your heart, your love is fake. You are fasting, yet everybody around you are not in talking terms with them. You know what they call holy malice? You know, people know how to do it very well. Holy malice. Holy malice. That's why you see that a lot of Christians' Christianity is a yes Christianity. Christianity that has no substance. Christianity without value, without substance. Christianity that doesn't have any weight. You pack 100 billion. People's money that should have paid people's salary in the state, you carried it to a particular bank abroad in Switzerland without telling even your wife. Your wife does not know. Neither does the children know. You alone went there with suitcase. You signed it and you put it there. You came back here as if, money. I said, money. Then at night, you take your tab. You check it. You see your balance. Money adding no value to anybody. No industry done, no school created, no bank, no company created. Roads, even the road to his house is okay. Every other road is bad. Yeah, yes, just money. And when he dies, the government of that nation. The proof of love. To love fellow human beings. That's the proof of love. None of us can see God physically. Please don't allow your Christianity to be a useless Christianity. A Christianity whereby out of three houses in your street, the entire three, you have enemy in 1, 2, and 3. What kind of thing is that? You have 6 roommates, 4.5 are your enemies. Then you now say, I'm going for self-fellowship. I'm going for self-fellowship. They say, no, you are not. You are going inside the cell. You are not going for self-fellowship. Let us begin to exhibit love. Let our heart be a loving heart. So that our fast will not be a useless fast. Let our Christianity be exportable. You know what I mean by that? That is, your Christianity can be exported from the church outside. It can be exported abroad. Anywhere they can say, nobody rejects love. Anywhere you see love, everybody embraces love. The more we allow hatred in our hearts for our fellow human being, the more we are far away from being above. My counsel as I close tonight is obey God with passion. Obey God with passion. Anything you have seen in the scripture, obey God. Second counsel, love your fellow human beings. Love them. Love them. Go extra mile for others. I know somebody will say, I've done some for others and they did bad to me back. It doesn't matter. Keep doing it. Don't be tired. My prayer is that everyone here shall be above only in the name of Jesus. Never again will anybody find you on the ground. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Rise up on your feet. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.